Brothers and sisters, good evening. May God bless you all. We are gathered together. We are, well, very, very excited, very happy, because we have that wonderful visit from our sister Maria Luisa. Sister, welcome to this year home in Orlando. What a great joy. Blessed is the Lord. What we're going to do in these moments is to dedicate our hearts to the Lord so that He may be pleased in this moment and so that the blessing may be for everyone. So let us start with a prayer, and in this initial prayer, we're going to ask the Lord to be alongside us in this wonderful gathering. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, blessed God, generous God, just God, Lord, today we're going to read the Bible. We're going to delight ourselves and enjoy these beautiful scriptures. And above all of that beautiful revelation of your Holy Spirit, using in a great way all the methods that you have to give us joy, peace, happiness, understanding, and above all, in allowing us to have that joy and to enjoy all that's heavenly. Heavenly Father, in this moment and this evening, we ask for you, for your presence to be in abundance. Our hearts are open and our joy is constant. Our joy is indescribable. And Lord, in these moments, we want to highlight your greatness, your great manifestation. Blessed is your holy name forever and ever. What a great blessing it is to be able to gather in your name and to live wonderful spiritual experiences and enjoy of that constant joy of the Spirit. Bless this gathering, which is in your name. Give us the ability to understand, teach us, and help us be very focused. We want all of this, and we want to express this all to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed and glorified is the name of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let us now sing choruses of praise to our God with much joy. Our hearts are very excited. Our hearts want to praise the living God, the God of the Bible. Our soul feels that great joy in the presence of the Lord. And as God had announced it one day, that He would be seeking worshipers in spirit and in truth. And here we are, by the mercy of the Lord, praising God as He likes, in spirit and in truth, because He is marvelous. Blessed is the name of the Lord. And we're going to start. Let us sing this beautiful chorus. It's chorus number 65, Jesus in Open Arms. Chorus number 65, Jesus in Open Arms.
In open arms was devoured on the cross to grant us full atonement. Jesus washed all our sins on the cross of Calvary. He has saved us and has made us free. Jesus washed all our sins on the cross of Calvary. He has saved us and has made us free. Jesus in open arms cross to grant us full atonement. Jesus in open arms was devoured on the cross to grant us full atonement. Jesus washed all our sins on the cross of Calvary. He has saved us and has made us free. Jesus washed all our sins on the cross of Calvary. He has saved us and has made us free.
Him forevermore. Our Savior is divine. We love our Lord. We have that great deep love, that true love, and honest love. After the pandemic, we had a woman come, and she shared with us her testimony. She shared with us that she had not been able to walk for 17 years. She was in a wheelchair, and she had the great joy of coming to know the Church of God through the live streams, through the live streams of our Sister Maria Luisa. And she said that she would get so happy because it was through an invitation that she received through internet. And she started to watch the live streams, and she started to fall in love deeply in reading the Bible. She said that she started to sing with great joy. And through one of the live streams of our Sister Maria Luisa, in the final prayer, she prayed to the Lord with her whole heart. And she said, "Lord, I can't take care of myself anymore. I've been in this wheelchair for 17 years, and I don't know what to do anymore. Only by your mercy, by your power." And the sister said that we can ask for whatever we want to, whatever is within our heart. And she said, "Lord, I want to be healed, if it's your will." And she was very happy, and she started to cry out of great joy. And at the end of the prayer, she said that she had that great desire to stand up. And as soon as she did so, she felt strength, and she felt strength in her feet. She was able to start walking. Glory to the Lord. Blessed is the name of our God. And she came to church here in Orlando, and she said, "Brother, I love our Sister Maria Luisa. I see her through the TV. I would love to enter the TV and be able to hug her. And I like how she teaches. I'm so joyful, and one day I would like to meet her." And she was giving here the honor and glory to the Lord. And with great joy and with truly an indescribable joy, it is my pleasure to leave you with our beloved Sister Maria Luisa, an excellent teacher.
Thank you very much, my dear brothers and sisters. May God bless you once again. You may be seated. And today, we are going to honor the Lord with some questions, honoring our God also, telling the Lord that we are interested in learning the doctrine, because we want to please Him in everything and do His will. Therefore, we are going to open our Bibles here in Psalm 76. We are reading all of the Psalms consecutively. And today we are going to read Psalm 76. Psalm 76, for some people that are new, who have not had the experiences, who do not know what the Psalms are about, they are songs for God. They are prophecies. Prophecies that are sung, that God used in antiquity, when the Temple of Solomon was around. It says that King David appointed 70 singers in the temple, and those singers, they were prophets, and they began to prophesy because the Holy Spirit would come and take them, and they began to prophesy. But their prophecy was with music, with melodies. It was with melodies. And this is what we have with Psalms. And those prophecies, they themselves, those who were singing all of these songs, surely they did not understand. But we today are understanding many things. Since it's prophecy, we have seen that many things have been fulfilled and others are to be fulfilled. But here we learn in Psalms, we learn to sing to God, to praise God, to glorify Him, because we memorize many words from Psalms, so that when we are praying or worshiping the Lord, we say to the Lord, we recite, we can say, those words in Psalms, and we say them with all of our hearts, and the Lord listens to them. And there are also people who compose music to these Psalms as well. Everything is possible. We welcome it and we accept it for the worship and the glory of our God. Therefore, in Psalm 76, we find that it says the following. In Judah, God is known. Let us remember, what is Judah? Who was Judah? What was Judah? It was a state or a department or a province of Israel, right? It was the tribe of Judah. God had chosen the tribe of Judah, whose capital was Jerusalem. And that is why it says that God chose Jerusalem to make his temple there and for him to manifest himself. That is why when we read Psalms, Jerusalem is highlighted or Judah is highlighted. But also we understand that all was symbolic because God, everything that he said materially at that time, he was looking toward the future. The symbol of that tribe of Judah, the symbol of that people of Israel, the symbol of Jerusalem. Symbolism, which was for the future, the church, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would begin to build. Something that has already happened for over 2,000 years, where the Lord came and manifested himself, and he has begun to build his spiritual people of Israel, his church called Heavenly Jerusalem or Zion, which is the same. Therefore, now we are going to understand better when it says that God is known in Judah. He was known in that physical, material Judah, but also in the spiritual one, which is us here, part of that city, part of that people we consider ourselves to be, if we are steadfast and we continue till the end. And so it says, his name is great in Israel, in Salem. So let us notice that Judah, Israel, and Salem is talking about the same thing. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion, the same thing. He just changes the name, but it's the same people, it's the same city to which he is referring to, where he says that his dwelling place is there. Blessed be the Lord. That dwelling place is the heart of a man or a woman who loves and seeks God with sincerity. All of us want to be a dwelling place for our God. Verse 3 says, there he broke the arrows of the bow, the shield and sword of battle. In other words, the Lord allowed for there to be triumph when there was war. The physical wars. Many times God gave triumph to the people of Israel, to them, but he's also speaking about the triumph that the Lord will give us, since today we are also in a spiritual war with the enemy, a constant war every day of our lives. We are at war, always fighting against our enemy that comes against us to persecute us, to harm us, and we need to be there in the front line, fighting steadfastly, constantly, in prayer, trusting in God, having faith in the Lord. That is our continuous war that we have. And it says that the Lord is always giving victory. But here, the fight with the enemy is a constant one. In verse 4, it says, you are more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted were plundered. They have sunk into their sleep, and none of the mighty men have found the use of their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse were cast into a dead sleep. You yourself are to be feared, and who may stand in your presence when once you are angry? Let us hope that we may never allow the Lord to be angry against us, but that on the contrary, that God may always be happy and pleased with our way of living, with our way of behaving and proceeding in our daily lives. Verse number 8. You caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. When God arose to judgment to deliver all the oppressed of the earth. The Lord is always highlighting that He extends His hand to the humble, to the meek, to those who set themselves to follow His path. And here we are here in this plan. Every one of us fighting to continue on this path that God has paved. This path of our God produces peace and happiness. Not sadness, not bitterness. The enemy comes against us, but God gives us triumph. He blesses us. He helps us. He gives us victories. He will never let us cease. And it says, surely the wrath of man shall praise you. With the remainder of wrath, you shall gird yourself. A person, no matter how stubborn or rebellious, that they may be in life, no matter how hard their heart is, the day that God manifests Himself to that person and touches their heart, He speaks to the depth of their being. This person, no matter how stubborn or rebellious or strong, they cry before our God because the Lord has broken them. And so it says that in the world, there will be no human, no matter how strong, how ill-tempered, that will not bow down in God's presence. They bow down because it says, the earth shakes in God's presence. The world trembles before God's voice. With even more reason, we human beings, no matter how rebellious or ill-tempered or headstrong or stubborn, unbelieving, this person will need to bow down to God's presence as well. But we, the humble and meek, which we consider ourselves to be, we do not have that need to get to that point to challenge our God because we love Him. We love Him and we do not want Him to be angry with us. And verse 11 says, make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all who are around Him bring presents to Him who ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is awesome to the kings of the earth. Our God is powerful. Our God is great. Who can fight against our God? No one. There is nothing that can face our God. And that is why we have chosen, we have selected the best way. We have chosen to follow the way of our God from the day that He sought us, called us, and found us. The day that He spoke to us, the first message, He made us our first promise. God made us fall in love with Him. And here we are. All of us and those who are watching us in this video, to whom I would also like to give a very warm greeting to all of those who are there behind those cameras watching this Bible study, that my God may bless you. And the brothers and sisters of Orlando love you all as well. And so now, in order to honor our God, we are going to begin with the questions this evening.
Sister, welcome to Orlando, and thank you for being here with us today. Sister, if you allow me, I would like to ask a question. And for it, I'm going to read Numbers chapter 14, verses 11, 18, and 19.
Numbers 14.
Numbers 14.
Yes, you may read.
Verse 11. Thank you, sister. Then the Lord said to Moses, How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me, with all the signs which I have performed among them? And I'll jump over to verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Sister, my question is, does the patience of the Lord have a limit? Or on the contrary, will he always give opportunities to his people? And in regards to this, will the Lord give the same treatment to his church as he does to the people of the world? Thank you, sister, for teaching us.
In antiquity, God had a lot of patience with the people. But his patience also ran out. And we have proof because God punished the people. Let us remember that God punished the people, punished Jerusalem. A war came, they destroyed the city of Jerusalem, the temple that Solomon built, everything was set on fire. There was a lot of sadness, lamentation, death. Why list everything that happened? It's better for you to read it because to narrate this is something very sad what happened. We see how God's patience ran out with them because he would admonish them through the prophets, but the people did not want that. That is why God finished, destroyed, removed the people. He removed them as his favored people. As for the question, if the Lord does this with his church, today the Lord, to the church in general, surely God is not going to give a punishment like this as a whole, as a mass, generally to the entire church. But yes, individually, each man or woman, each believer, the Lord will charge each believer according to their acts, their works. He pays them with good if they do good, or bad with punishments if they do something bad. So God will hold each person accountable. So today, perhaps, it isn't the entire church that is going to suffer. Some believers will suffer the consequences of their disobedience or rebelliousness or stubbornness if they do not submit themselves to God's will. That is how God will treat his church, his people, individually to each person according to their works. That is why each one of us fight to press on, to do things well, and to progress in our spiritual lives so that God may reward us, so that God may be happy with us. Because also the patience of the Lord can run out when we are stubborn, fall back down, start again, fall back down, and so then God can get angry with us. So God is the same yesterday and today. What he did yesterday, what he was yesterday, he is also today. He does it today. He manifests himself today. That is why it says that he does not change. He is the same for centuries since humans were made. Let us continue with another question. Your question.
Good evening, sister. May the Lord bless you. We thank our Lord for allowing us tonight to be in the company of our worldwide spiritual leader, who is an example of life for us and all of mankind. Sister, I've come to know several cases where young children, teenagers, or the young ones from church are singled out, picked on, or excluded for not having the same attitude or mindset in regards to things like dating, going to parties, and all of the things that our youth faces. And as such, I would like for you to help teach us and give us some advice as far as how they should handle those situations, especially when in them we find the future of our Church of the Lord. Thank you, sister.
Well, children, young people as well, learn from their parents. What they hear and what they see from their parents, that is what they follow. Therefore, if parents are not giving good examples, parents aren't giving good examples to their children, they do not have a good testimony, they are not showing them conviction for our God, then they also are going to be raised in an insecure way. And when they go to school, in their classrooms, there they feel badly because their classmates, they are going to mock them because they do not partake or do the things that the sister was mentioning, like dating or consuming drugs, alcohol, all of these things. But it's because they at home had not been taught enough for them to have that conviction, that certainty in God, that love for God, because the young person then is uncertain and they then become insecure. Everything depends upon the parents. It depends on their parents. If they have conviction, do they love God? Do they instill in the children to not worry about the things of the world, to not pay attention to people? That we ought to have patience if people mock or laugh. If they say something to me, then I'm patient. I don't say anything. And my behavior is steadfast and certain in the Lord. And so no one can come and mock me or say anything to me or make me do something that I do not want to do. So young people, when their parents have a bad testimony, they also live in that way. They do not have faith. They do not have certainty in God. They have no conviction. They feel unprotected. They feel alone. And that is why then they are also moved by all of that manipulation that their classmates, their peers, do against them. So we have to pray and teach them to not pay attention to these comments. That we need to please God, that we need to love God, to not give it importance. When it comes to education, that is a monster nowadays in society because there are so many contradictions, because there is a lot of debauchery. And so some people say one thing, others say something else. They forbid teaching, they forbid correcting, they forbid teaching moral values because they begin to say that they're not allowing them to live in their debauchery, to believe in what they want. And well, that they are being discriminated now, that they are being casted aside, they are putting ideas in them. All of this happened. If you teach them something good, that's bad. And if you teach bad things, then everything goes badly. So what do we need to do as parents? Seek God. Be sincere. We need to be very honest with God. When we are honest with God, and I'm speaking to parents of families, God blesses the children as well. He keeps them and protects them. And He instills, the Lord Himself instills in the child's heart. He instills that fear for the Lord. And so now they are no longer going to be convinced by what he's told by his classmates in his classroom. He will no longer pay attention to that. They will respect them. Because I have seen in the church during all of these years, I have seen many parents who do not teach their children because they do not give a good example or have a good testimony. But I know children and young people who make themselves respected and have conviction. They love God, they seek God, and they make themselves be respected by their classmates in school. And no one is against them because they are very well-mannered. And that becomes well-known. And so there is admiration for them. I know many young people, pre-adolescent children, who their behavior at school, they all speak well about them and they do not go against them to bully them or mock them or make them do anything or criticize them because they make themselves be respected. But who gave that respect? God gave it to them because they took it from the example they found in their home, from their parents, because they raised them well. So if you are living these problems, then you need to pray and ask God to help you, that God may help teach this youth and that God may also help them there in those places so that God may protect them and teach them to teach them that they shouldn't pay attention. They shouldn't pay attention to any of those things or feel bad about what they say, that they ought to press on and behave well. And the day will come where they will be respected and valued by their peers and by the teachers as well. And so it has to do with how we live our daily lives with our families. That's it. We need to be very careful in this aspect so that we also, before demanding, we need to give. If I'm demanding, I need to give. But if I never instilled values in my children, then I'm not going to demand anything from them. And so the consequences come that they're going to face with the friends that they have. And so, brothers and sisters, what we need to do is ask God to give those who say they lack wisdom, ask for wisdom and prudence to raise children, to educate, and say, Lord, help me. How am I going to educate my children? Look at this world. This world is backward, some people may say. But we need to face it. We need to face all of these things. And we need to do everything with wisdom. And God is going to help us. And God will help our youth, our children. Let us continue. Yes, the brother. Yes, brother.
Good evening to you all, brothers and sisters. A warm welcome. And Sister Maria Luisa, a warm welcome to Orlando. This is your home. Beloved Sister Maria Luisa, not too long ago, our brother Carlos Alberto taught us that you are a person who's very disciplined. And that filled me with even more admiration for you. And I would like if you could please teach us, because it's important always to give that first place to the Lord. And I know that as a mother, when you started the church, the to-dos, setting aside time for your husband, for your children, for working as well, because I know that you worked according to what the book Experiences narrates. If you could please teach us, how can we today also be that highly disciplined so that we may please the Lord?
To please God and to fulfill our duties in our families with responsibilities at home. Today, the devil, the enemy, is working so much against families, against marriages, against couples. The devil is creating so much disasters, destroying so much. There are no families now. There's no respect. But it's just that everything comes when we love God. When one knows God and one begins to love God, that is where everything comes from. That desire, that wish to be organized, to be respectful, and to be people who fulfill all of their duties, trying to do their best, learning from the Bible in order to protect ourselves, in order to remove that which we are doing wrong. When we read the Bible, we learn so much because our bad habits, we need to leave them behind. And it's a school. We also at home, with our families, it is a school of learning. But if that school does not practice values, respect, and organization, responsibility, honesty, then it's useless because instead of being an educating school, it becomes an unruly life where each person turns away and the families then separate themselves and everything turns into a tragedy. When we read the Bible and we know our duties and our responsibilities as human beings, as a father, mother, husband, wife, siblings, as children. And we begin to learn about God, what he teaches us, all of the good manners and things that we need to live daily. Then we begin to do these things and we begin to perfect ourselves. And we begin to change, and God begins to help us to overcome all of those things that seem to be difficult or impossible of doing. And so we achieve these triumphs when we walk hand in hand with our God. When we love God truly, he helps us and he teaches us. He corrects us. God teaches us in many ways. He teaches us through dreams. He teaches us through revelations, visions. He teaches us when we read the Bible. He teaches us with testimonies of other people, with experiences, with what happens to people, with what God speaks to a person, the good things that happen to them, the bad things that happen to someone else. And that is how we learn. We learn from others. We learn and we see many people who do not have values. They are ill-mannered, imprudent. And I say, I'm not going to do this. I see others who are prudent, who are well-mannered. They behave well. They do things well. They are organized. They are faithful. And so I say, that way of living is beautiful. I want to do the same. And so I'm going to learn from people's qualities, from people's flaws. You begin to learn. If we are intelligent, then we should apply it for our benefit, for our improvement. Always looking for self-improvement. Never looking to criticize others. Do not criticize. Do not mock. But instead, take everything, take characteristics or flaws from people, take it and think, who will I learn from? Who am I learning from? This person spoke, did, behaved this way. So what am I going to take from these people's examples? I take the best. I extract what is good and apply it for my life so that I can please the Lord, I please others, and I live well in the midst of the community, doing what is correct and right, and always teaching what is good, doing what is good. And so if you want to learn here in the Bible, there's a university that teaches beautiful things, which is called Proverbs. In Proverbs, there are so many things, and Ecclesiastes, which are reasonings where we ask ourselves, is it worth it or not? Is it worth it for me to be sad about this? If I do this or not, is it worth it? Will my spiritual life be stagnant if I worry about this or that? And so we reason as well. We reason, but everything that we do here as human beings, all that we do or think needs to be for good and to have spiritual growth. For what? So that God may give us perfect gifts. Whom among the brothers and sisters want perfect gifts? What is a perfect gift? I say a perfect gift, meaning that it may be the Holy Spirit who speaks through the person. That is what I call a perfect gift. That the Holy Spirit may be the one speaking, and that it may not be emotions from your heart, from that person's heart. That it may not be that they became so excited or heard rumors about something, and so now they are using their emotions, their flesh to speak. No. Perfection is that it may be the Holy Spirit, whether it be just two or three words, that he may be the one to speak. And how is this achieved? With our life. How we live. How do we live in our daily life? Whether it be at church or at work, at school, at university, at your business, at your company, at home, with your family, with your neighbors, at the supermarket, in all places, how do I live? What is my behavior like? That is what we need to look at, because that will determine how God will use us. When we live a pleasing life for God. If we are unorganized in many aspects of our lives, then we cannot expect for God to use us with perfect gifts. We know that perfect gifts means that it may be the Holy Spirit to use us to speak. And so that is a fight. That is what we're fighting for. We want for God to use me, that the Holy Spirit may use me to speak. But I need to also know how I am behaving, starting from my marriage to everything else. What are my thoughts like? That is what we need to cleanse. We are like a tree. If the tree wants to bear good fruits, then it needs to look at what the roots are like. What is its trunk like? Is it well nourished or not? Because on the contrary, then the fruits will not be good. That is what we are. We are trees that we need to protect and maintain always. Like Psalm number 1 says, that it may be planted by the rivers of water so that it may always have green leaves and bear fruits. We must be those trees there planted by the rivers of water that God may help us. That God may help us achieve these things. I think we can. I think we can. We will do it with God's help. Let us continue. Yes, brother?
Good evening, Sister Maria Luisa. Welcome to Orlando, your home. Sister Maria Luisa, I have two questions to ask you, if you allow me the first one. What does it mean to sing to God with understanding?
To sing to God with knowledge is when we are reflecting upon what we sing about. When we reflect. For example, if we're going to say, this is the church of God, I need to think, what am I singing? This is the church of God. Yes, this is the church of God. Because God said it. Because God spoke it. He promised it. God chose me. He said that this is his church. And so that is to reflect, to understand and comprehend what we are singing in the message that is being given, and to also do it with your heart, with happiness, with joy. That is called to sing with knowledge, to know what we are doing.
My second question is, Sister Maria Luisa, I saw that in a reflection on the YouTube channel of the church that you taught regarding the gift of discernment of spirits and the gift of prophecy. My question is the following. Why is it that the gift of discernment of spirits is more demanding unto the believer than the gift of prophecy? What is that demand?
Well, so the gift of discernment, or also the gift of casting out demons, there is the gift of casting out demons, and they are gifts that God demands for the person, the man or woman who wants it, who desires it, or if God wants to give these gifts to this brother or sister, it is a brother or sister who truly live a life of God, who love God. It is a person who is prudent, well-mannered, a person who isn't involved in gossip or envy. They do not have grudges. They do not criticize. They do not lying or deceiving anyone. And they are a person is blameless, as some may say, and gives that testimony and worries about knowledge and doctrine. It is a person who is mature in the spiritual sense. Those people are the ones that God trains. Because I think that God trains people to give them these gifts. The gift of prophecy, God gives a person so that the person may change. When the Lord baptizes with the Holy Spirit, he doesn't do it because they are perfect, that this person is perfect. But God gives them this so that the person may feel that there is a God that exists in spirit and in truth, that there is a supreme being. And so the person needs to change. And when they receive the gift of prophecy, then It gives them an opportunity to change. The Lord says, I am going to give you these gifts. I'm giving you these presents, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to give you the gift of prophecy or for you to lay hands. They are presents that I give you so that you may understand and see and comprehend that I exist and that you need to change. You need to be a person that is transformed from now on. After I give you these gifts, you are going to change. You are going to perfect yourself. You're going to sanctify yourself every day because you are going to change. You are going to remove your bad habits. You are going to change your bad behavior and you're going to do good things. That is why God gives us these gifts that we may understand that God gave us something because it's something spiritual. And so that helps me to change. And there are people who change and they better themselves in their spiritual life when they receive the baptism and they receive the gift of prophecy. The person changes. I have seen this. And so I have seen that many change and they convert, they change and transform themselves, and they truly become a person of God, a son of God or daughter of God. But I've also seen people who receive this gift and they do not change. Their spiritual life instead falls. It turns back. And when it turns back, then it happens that God does not support those gifts that he gave them. He does not support them. So the person prophesies bad. They prophesy with mistakes, with errors. Why? Because the person, instead of prospering and progressing spiritually when God gave them the gifts, they did not do it, but instead they worsened, and that is why the Lord then removes his support. That is what God does. He removes support. But the other gifts that God gives, when God gives the gift of casting out demons and discernment, all of this is for prophets or prophetesses who are people with a different level of spirituality, a change where people have changed. They have changed in their life and they are truly living a life with God. And so the Lord trusts them with those people, with those prophets. They have those gifts and prophetesses. They have those gifts. We read here in the Bible the lives of the prophets, and there were also prophetesses, and we see how God uses them. He used them in a very beautiful way, with discernment, with casting out demons, by removing witchcraft, doing all of these things. But the person is already a son of God or daughter of God. And so we all must fight to reach those gifts, to get to that place, to get to that spiritual place where we want God to truly use us more and give us more gifts. And to be careful, those brothers and sisters who have received the Holy Spirit, where God has given them the gift of prophecy and they prophesy, then protect yourself because God gave you that gift for you to progress in your spiritual life, to grow. Instead of decreasing, you grow. And when you begin to grow, then God, there will be a time where he is going to make you into a prophet or prophetess. That is what the Lord does. That is the difference between these gifts that God gives. He gives them so that the Lord says, know me. I want you to know me. And since I want you to know me, then I'm going to give you the baptism with the Holy Spirit, or I'm going to give you the gift of prophecy. And there you're going to know me. Once you know me, press on, continue growing, because I'm going to give you more gifts, more responsibilities. That's it. Let us continue. Let us continue. Yes, sister?
Good evening, Sister Mary Louisa. Thank you so much for visiting us here in Orlando. I wanted to let you know that last night I had a dream about you visiting, and I saw brothers and sisters wearing a certain color.
Buenas noches, es hermana María Luisa. Muchas gracias por visitarnos aquí en la iglesia de Orlando. Le quería contar que anoche tuve un sueño donde usted nos estaba visitando acompañada de todos estos hermanos.
And I realized when you had arrived, you were also wearing the same color that you're wearing right now. So, lime green.
Y también me di, También me di cuenta que cuando llegaste tenías puesto ese vestido que tienes puesto ahora.
Very well, thank you. That is what our God does. We are not able to agree on something. God knows it all from beforehand. He knows everything. And one says, I made the decision. No, God pushed me to do this. God led me to do something, because that is what we are. We are like the waves of the sea that are moved by the wind. That is how we are with our God. Yes, sister?
And so it was a promise that I would be asking you a question. And my question comes from Psalm 78, verse 67 through 68.
Y también esto es una promesa del Señor que yo estaría haciendo una pregunta. Y mi pregunta está en el Salmo 78, verso 67 y 68.
Yes, sister. In Psalm 78. Psalm 78, which verse?
Verso 67 y 68.
Yes.
May I read, sister?
Yes, sister.
Moreover, he rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim. 68 says, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved.
El verso 67 dice, desechó la tienda de José y no escogió la tribu de Efraín, sino que escogió la tribu de Judá, el monte de Sión, el cual amó.
So my question is, we know that Judah was a special tribe, but out of all the tribes, he was chosen for a reason. And I'm just curious about what was that selection of having Judah being chosen.
Sabemos que la tribu de Judá fue una tribu muy especial, pero de todas las tribus que existieron, de aquellas 12 tribus, el Señor escogió la tribu de Judá para que nuestro Señor Jesucristo naciera. ¿Hay alguna razón en específica por la cual el Señor permitió esto o escogió Judá?
Very well. Here it says that the Lord rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim because Joseph was the firstborn. Remember that Joseph was in Egypt. He was sold by his brothers. And he was there in Egypt. He was the firstborn out of Jacob's 12 sons. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is supposed to come from the firstborn of the people of Israel, of the sons of Jacob. But God did not want to accept anything from Joseph. Joseph, when Jacob went with all of his sons to Egypt, it says that he had two children there, Ephraim and Manasseh. But they did not inherit that position, that important position, as Judah was important. They did not inherit that, since Joseph was the firstborn of the 12. They did not inherit it because God didn't want that. It does not say there why God did not want to give them that prize, that blessing. And the blessing came upon the tribe of Judah because the Lord chose the city of Jerusalem. But it says that God chose it. It does not explain what the reasons were. So this is something that is respectable, that we cannot make up anything, nor can we make comments about it, because that is God's will. Like when he said, when I do what I want, no one can question or ask why you did this. We only respect God's will. And the Lord says, this is this way, and that is the way it is, Lord. I'm not going to ask why. But Ephraim, or Joseph, they were the firstborns of the 12 sons of Jacob. And in antiquity, the firstborn was the one who would receive all of the blessings and inheritance. And the Lord said that he didn't choose them for the Messiah, the Savior, to come from them, but he chose the tribe of Judah. Well, that was the Lord's will. Yes. Yes, let us continue.
Sister, good evening. Sister, my question is found in Revelation chapter number 10, verse 8.
Yes, brother, you may read.
It reads, then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, Go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, Give me the little book. And he said to me, Take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. Sister, as I was reading the book of Revelation, I came across these verses, and my question is, what does that little book mean? And also, I wanted to know, why does it talk so much about honey? Thank you so much, sister. That's my question.
Very well. Here in Revelation, the mysteries of the Lord. Because if we read in Ezekiel, to Ezekiel, he said the same thing. To eat a little book. In Daniel, as well. So the Lord, to his prophets, when he would give them the messages for the people, whether it be for the people in that present time or for the future, the Lord spoke in this way, which was something that was already written in a little book. And when he tells the prophet to eat the book, it is because he had to eat it since he needed to prophesy and speak everything that God was revealing to him, and what was written in the book, he needed to prophesy it to the people. That is why he said that he needed to continue prophesying. He says, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. And we see that it says, you will prophesy to many. But who is the one who truly prophesies? It's our Lord Jesus Christ, who is with the church. Because he said that his Holy Spirit would be with the church forever. And the Holy Spirit is the one that gives the gifts and the one who speaks through the mouths of people, of beings. And so there we also see the fulfillment of all of these prophetic words that God would speak to Daniel, Ezekiel, and now he was telling them to John. He was saying the same thing, that he needed to eat these writings and continue prophesying to the world, proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the word of the Lord until everyone hears the word of the Lord, that God exists and that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, and that we need to fear and honor him and believe in him in order to attain salvation. That is what happens. And so that has been fulfilled and it will continue to be fulfilled because today also the Holy Spirit will speak through many, has spoken through many, and confirms the same things. That's it. So many will be living many wonderful experiences because what it says in Ephesians 4 needs to be fulfilled, where he says that in his church, he appointed prophets, just as there was in antiquity, just as there was in the early church, with John, for example. So God also will be speaking through his prophets as well, because it's the Holy Spirit of God that speaks. So the people aren't the same, but the message is. And it says that the Lord wants for his gospel, his word, to be preached around the world, and that it may be executed, and that will be so. And so we say to the Lord, we are here, Lord, to do your will. Mm-hmm. Very well, let us continue.
Good evening, Sister Mary Luisa. Receive a warm welcome from the brothers and sisters in the Church of Orlando. We're very happy with your visit. Sister Mary Luisa, I have a testimony and a personal question, if I may.
Yes, sister.
I want to testify to magnify the name of my Heavenly Father. Although I already had the opportunity previously to share this testimony with you in the church in Weston, I feel very happy to be able to share it because God has told me to always share it. And I want to take this opportunity that there's first-hand guests and newcomers in church so that they may also understand it just as I understood it. When I came to church, at the beginning I didn't understand that well who was Sister Mary Luisa. I feel very happy, rejoiced to be in church, but whenever they spoke of Sister Mary Luisa or I would come to the Bible studies, I didn't understand that well who you were. And it's because of this that at times I felt rather uncomfortable, and I would say to God that I didn't understand. And once during a Bible study, I prayed, I spoke to God, and I told them, God, truly, I like your church very much. I feel very happy here. But at times I feel that they talk too much about Sister Mary Luisa. I don't know who she is to you. And I don't know who she is to you. But I would like for you to tell me who she is to you. And as such, that very same night, God gave me a dream with Sister Mary Luisa, where I was going into trial. It was a very dark, completely dark room. And as I was waiting for my turn to go in, I was really frightened because I knew that there was judgment. The devil was there speaking to God. And when I went into the room, I saw that God was sitting down with his apostles in a very long table. And he was in the middle, and he was very big. Of course, I couldn't see his face, but I know that he had a tunic on that was very long. And his apostles were also there, who I couldn't see either. And the first person that I saw sitting next to God was you, Sister Mary Luisa. And when I saw you, I looked at you and I told you, what are you doing there? And Sister Mary Luisa smiled and looked down. And that's when the devil begins to speak, and he was talking to God about me. You want to bless her, but look that she doesn't read the Bible. She doesn't give you the first place. She doesn't seek you as she ought to. Why do you want to bless her? And when the devil stopped talking, God answered to me. He looked at me and he told me, you want to know who she is? I want to tell you that she's very important for me. She is that servant that I have chosen. Because I tell you that it's not 12 apostles, but 13 with her. At that point, he answers the devil and says, I know that what you want is her life. But I tell you now that she is my daughter. And you will not touch her, because I love her. And I am with her. And it was how the Lord allowed me to understand who you were, Sister Mary Luisa. And from that moment on, I felt great respect and love towards you.
Thanks be to the Lord. He is the one who defends me.
My personal question.
Yes, sister.
Is regarding depression. Sister Mary Luisa, today we encounter more people with depression. And it's how people in the world take their lives because of depression. I feel that the devil is using depression as a weapon to take people's lives. And even people from church suffer from depression. They have spiritual gifts. And many times also, they may be enduring depression at this time. And the devil is using this to quench their spiritual gifts and not continue, allow them to continue serving the Lord and take him out of church. And sister, I would like for you and your wisdom to explain to us what depression is. Is it a feeling? Is it an evil spirit? How should we pray so that it leaves? And how do we pray for others so that that spirit is no longer there? And if it's a feeling, how should we seek help? Because there's many people that don't speak about it out of fear, or they don't seek professional help because they feel that they're failing God, or because they feel that they're going to be judged and think that they've gone mad. When we know that the Lord has placed his spiritual gifts to heal, but also doctors to heal traumas from our lives. And this is why I would like for you to teach us, because we know that God should be our primary focus that will help us, will help to heal us, but he also gives us ways to be able to heal depression, which are people that...
Thank you, sister. I understand now. Sorry that I cut you off, but time is going by fast. Depression is a spirit. Generally speaking, the majority of illnesses are spirits that attach to the body and make the physical part of the body sick. For example, an evil spirit can attach itself to a part of the brain. And when it attaches there, it doesn't allow for the brain to function as it normally would. So then the person becomes sick. Therefore, the majority of these things are spirits. Physical illnesses come from the wearing down of the body because of age, but that is what doctors help with, they solve with medicine. But when it comes to something spiritual, there isn't a medicine for this. So depression is a spirit that attaches to the person and makes them feel sadness, bitterness, to feel that they do not want to live any longer, they don't have desire to live, they don't have happiness or peace or anything. That is that feeling, but it is a spirit. Now, as the sister says, there are many people who are suffering from depression. And so the solution, you pray to God. If you can kneel at home, you kneel, you can read part of the Bible, and you can ask the Lord to deliver you from that depression. When you come to church, if you cannot ask the pastor, then ask the brothers and sisters who prophesy. You can ask them to lay hands on you and say, "Lay hands on me and rebuke the spirit of depression because I feel bad." Do not be ashamed. Why should you be ashamed because of this? No one should criticize these things. Because we are here. God has given us gifts. God has given many gifts. And he says, lay hands. When he says to lay hands, it is because he has given that gift of laying hands. And the person lays hands and God works the miracle on them. Therefore, with prayer, you remove these spirits with prayer. Depression, all of that is removed with prayer. Receive laying on of hands, and also at home, you cry out to the Lord and you will be delivered. Do not worry because you will be delivered of this. And all of those types of illnesses like Down syndrome, autism, all of these things, they are spirits. You at home pray, lay hands on your loved one that has that illness. And when they come to church, that the pastor, that the brothers and sisters who prophesy, the sisters who can lay hands and rebuke, you do this trusting in God. Believe that God is going to work the miracle. Do not doubt, because if you doubt, then that prayer is useless. God is pleased when we pray, believing and trusting in him. And so we need to do this because everything is generally those spirits that come to torment. But do not worry, because the Lord has healed many people. The Lord has healed many people from all of these mental spiritual illnesses.
Good evening, Sister Maria Luisa. I have a question in Ephesians 3:9.
Yes. Yes, sister, you may read. 3:9.
And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things. Sister Maria Luisa, my question isn't the word fellowship or dispensation. I looked in the dictionary, and dispensation is as organization, but I see that Paul the Apostle uses it in Ephesians 3:9 and Ephesians 1:10. And the question comes up because someone came to me talking about dispensation, and they also said that dispensation, that the Bible was divided in 7 to 9 dispensations. And I didn't know what to answer, so if you could please give me more information in regards to...
Well, here, what is written is understood when we say, and to make all see what is the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things. It is talking about an age, an era, a time frame of an age. We are in the age of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the dispensation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we have understood this word in the Bible. Yes, it is talking about the time that we are living. We live in the age of the gospel or the dispensation of the gospel of the Lord. Yes, let us continue. Yes, sister.
Good evening, Sister Maria Luisa. I have a question, sister, because there's some people that come and they tell me that the reason why people go to church is because they've done evil things and then they hide in it and they think that they're holy.
So let them talk and say whatever they want.
Sister Mary Luisa. So my question, and the sister is Sister Mary Luisa.
Yes, sister.
When the person arrives to church, and the Lord gives them prophecy, and we stay, we congregate forever. Whatever was done before, is it forgiven? Is it completely forgiven?
Well, that is what the Lord says. That is what the Bible says. The Lord says that when a person comes to the path of God, God speaks to them, God calls them, and the person continues to attend church, they congregate and convert to the Lord. And the Bible says that the Lord forgives the sins that they committed in their life until that day. Until the day that God speaks to them and invites them to follow. And so all of those sins are forgiven by the Lord. After, when we convert to the Lord, in our life that we live in the Lord, if we go back to sin, if we continue to commit the same sin, then the Lord surely will punish. He punishes. And he punishes what we do today after having known this truth and after the Lord has forgiven my sins from before knowing God. But whatever we do, being in God's path, it's different because the Lord surely will forgive, but with a scourge in his hand as well, with a punishment that the Lord is going to admonish us with. That is why we fight in our prayers. We ask the Lord, asking him to help us to change and to remove what is bad, to remove all of our bad behaviors and displeasing things that we do not want to have in our lives, a heart filled with spots, impure, but that we may live a righteous life before the Lord, so that he may not punish us, but that he may bless us. That is what we look for, God's blessings. Yes, brother, last question.
Good evening, sister. I wanted to say thank you for being here, and thank you for your patience and your love to take all this time to answer all our questions in such a detailed manner. Thank you so much, sister. I have two questions, sister. The first is found in Mark chapter 14, verse 24. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." Sister, I've had the opportunity to speak with many different Christians from different paths of life, and they talk to me, and they all talk regarding the blood of Christ. What is the true meaning of the blood of Christ? What do we have to understand from this?
Well, in antiquity, the people of Israel sacrificed animals. I don't know if you've read that story. They would sacrifice animals, and it says that with the blood of that animal, the high priest would sprinkle the blood upon the people so that God can forgive the sins of the people. And so there was forgiveness of sins, but with the shedding of blood of animals. And so they would sprinkle everyone with that blood, and the Lord would forgive their sins. So God established this method. He said that in order to forgive sins, there needed to be bloodshed. What happened with the Lord Jesus Christ? It says that he went to the cross of Calvary. He was sacrificed, and there he shed blood. The Lord shed blood, and it says that that blood that he shed was so that symbolically, in the spiritual sense, everyone who believed in him would be cleansed. Their sin would be cleansed with the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. That is why he who believes, those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that the Lord cleansed us with his blood, symbolically speaking, not physically. Like in antiquity, when it was the blood of animals and physically people were sprinkled with that blood. And so the Lord Jesus says that with his blood that he shed on the cross, whoever believed in him would be cleansed and forgiven of their sins, and that they would attain salvation. But for this, we must also press on until the end of our life in the path of the gospel. That's it. So I don't know if that was clear.
Thank you, sister. Sister, in past prophecy, last year I received the baptism with the Holy Spirit and I felt very joyful. And since then, the Lord started to talk to me a lot regarding how I would serve him. And he tells me to ask for his spiritual gifts, but also for the things that I need. And when I go to pray to the Lord for the things that I need, I sometimes say to myself, but this is so mundane. This is what I truly want to ask of the Lord is the spiritual. And I said, Lord, what I want is to be a mountain for you, a mountain for Christ that I may shine and be an example for you in every aspect of my life, a rock for that ideal help, that spouse that you have promised me. But nonetheless, I have this battle for the material things of life that want to come to my mind and say, hey, what about me? And so I would like if you could help me, because truly I'm decided to walk down this path of the Lord and to represent him very well. But I want to have that victory, a very definitive victory regarding the things of this world and for those material things to no longer come to my heart.
Very well. But you acquire that little by little. Little by little. It's not something that you can acquire in a week, in a month. No. Little by little, you begin to learn, you begin to understand, you mature, you begin to read the Bible and learn doctrine, understanding many things, and so your spiritual life begins to grow. If in your heart there is the desire to please the Lord always in everything, then you begin to prosper day by day, but that process is slow. It is not something that happens within a year. You can't say that by next year, I am at the maximum perfection. We begin to learn little by little. Our spiritual life is like the growth of a baby when it is born. When the baby is born, we do not see that the next year they are running around. No, it's a process. It has a process. That is what we are like in our spiritual life. Because it says that in our spiritual life, we are born and we are children. And after children, we become adults. And afterward, we become mature people in the knowledge of God. And that is when God begins to give us the spiritual gifts and gives us many responsibilities, because we are able to carry all of those responsibilities. But the growth is slow and it's little by little. The important thing is that you may continue in love with God, reading the Bible. Always read the Bible, because there you are going to find many answers to your questions. And press on. And I'm so happy for you, because you are happy in the path of God. Congratulations. May God bless you. Yes, sister.
Sister Marilisa, good evening. Welcome, and also those that are with you. Sister, in regards to a question that a brother had, regards to life at home, I have this reading in Titus chapter 2, verse 4.
Yes, sister, you may read.
It says that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So my concern is because the Lord has said...
Sister, the worry now is that everyone has to work.
Yes.
The worry now is that in antiquity, men were the only ones who worked and women would stay home. And he would bring everything for her. Now, everyone has to work because there isn't enough money. And so everyone has to work, mother, father, children working as well, because they work hard to get into university. They work. So today, we no longer can fulfill with this requirement given by the apostle, because in order to fulfill it, then the husband would have to bring everything at home and the wife would be at home living a great life. No. Doing chores, raising the children, and well, but it's very difficult to submit to these rules because of culture and customs and how we live today, which is very expensive and everyone has to work and we need to bring something home because the salaries that are being paid aren't enough for one person to support a household. But what will never change will be values. Values which are respect, love, kindness, obedience, understanding, mutual help. That will never end. Values will never end. Customs and chores, they change. But values, respect, and kindness and sincerity and valuing your marriage, valuing what a marriage is. A marriage is to honor God. All of this is very important and that will never change. That will never go out of style. Yes, sister.
Sister, forgive me. My question was in regards to at what point could we blaspheme against God in this? Because here it says so. That we be a good example so that we do not blaspheme against God?
Because of a bad testimony. So it's implying that women should be faithful, organized, that they may be a good example and have a good testimony, of course, because if a woman lives an unruly life and doesn't respect their husband, their spouse, then the person who knows them, neighbors, friends, family members who know them, then they are going to blaspheme against God saying, well, how come they're acting this way? Aren't they from a church? Don't they say that God speaks to them and that God is there? And look at how they live. Look at the sin that they're committing. Look at them. We saw her get drunk. We saw her being unfaithful. Like that, to give an example. So those bad testimonies make people blaspheme about God and mock the things of God because people find out that we are attending a church. So that is what the apostle was trying to say, that they should be well behaved so that no one would blaspheme. But as I said, now we are living a time where it's not just her, but both need to have a good testimony, give a good example, be organized, responsible, fulfilling their duties, raising their children, right? Because it's both of their job to love each other and that their marriage may be honorable before our God. Those are the values for today. Very well. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters. We are now going to be praying to the Lord. Considering the children, we cannot stay here until midnight today. Very well. So we are going to be praying to the Lord, and you already know those who are sick, family members who are sick, mental illnesses. We are going to ask the Lord for mental illnesses, which are Down syndrome, autism, epilepsy. All of these illnesses are mental illnesses. We are going to be asking the Lord for this because the Lord has been healing these people a lot. God always heals them little by little, slowly. But I give thanks to God because I see that people are getting better every day. So we are going to ask the Lord also, if you have a petition, remind the Lord. Cry out to God and ask Him so that God may give you that wish and fulfill that petition that you have. Those who would like the spiritual gifts that are perfected, we know now what that means. That it may be a word, but that it may come from the mouth of the Holy Spirit. That is a perfect prophecy. A perfect prophecy is not lasting half an hour prophesying. It may be two or three words, but that it may be the Holy Spirit speaking. That is what makes it perfect, and that is what we're going to ask the Lord, to give the gifts perfectly, that He may use us. Let us pray, Holy Father, Heavenly Father, Eternal God, Creator of the heavens and the earth, our God, our King, our Divine Shepherd, we praise you, we give you thanks, we give you the honor, the glory, the praise. We are before your presence in these moments, wanting with all of our hearts that you may listen to us, that you may hear us, and that you may extend your powerful hand upon all of us, that you may bless us and cleanse us, that you may deliver us. Lord, break chains, ties, and spiritual bonds that the enemy has placed upon us. Protect us and keep us from evil. Protect us from danger and the snares of the enemy, of all the dangers that we find on the street, in any place, wherever we may be. There are many dangers. Protect us always. Protect us, Lord. Help us to press on. Help us to grow in our spiritual life, to prosper, to progress, so that our spiritual life may grow, so that we may have knowledge of your doctrine, of your word, and that we may be able to do your will, that we may be able to please you in everything. Heavenly Father, help us. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding. Give us prudence and knowledge so that we may be able to behave well in the midst of society, in the midst of the church, in the midst of any people, and that we may have a good testimony and be a good example for others, so that everyone, through our testimony, may believe in you and may convert and follow this wonderful path that you have paved. Thank you, Lord, for having listened to our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for looking upon us this evening. We are before you, Lord. We also ask for those who are sick, for everyone who has different types of illnesses. We cannot list all of those illnesses, but you know them. You know and you see each person who is sick, who has an illness that is incurable. Lord, extend your hand and heal them, cleansing and delivering them, removing witchcraft, sorcery, curses, destroying the work of the wicked one. Break these spiritual bonds. Deliver and cleanse. In the name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, we ask you, my Lord. The praise and the honor is yours, Holy Father. The glory is yours, blessed God, because you are great and righteous and merciful and gracious. You are slow to anger and great in forgiving. Lord of hosts, our God, we trust in you. We seek you with all our hearts. Help us, Lord. Listen to us, Lord. Listen to our prayer. Listen to the prayer of each person, people's petitions, their needs, the desires of their heart. Help, Lord, so that they may convert from their bad path and that they may convert to your true path, doing your will, seeking your face. Thank you, Holy Father. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your mercy, for your truth. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you. Holy are you, Lord. The praises are for you. Send the power of the Holy Spirit. Send the spiritual gifts, my Lord. Baptize with your Holy Spirit. Deliver, Lord. Deliver, O Lord. Cleanse hearts. Cleanse mindsets. Destroy the wicked works. Break chains. Remove all suffering, sadness, and bitterness. Great blessings, triumph, and victories, Lord. Thank you, Holy Father, because you are going to manifest yourself, because you are going to give blessings to many. You are going to heal. You are going to deliver. You are going to break the yoke of bondage of the enemy. Thank you, Eternal God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Powerful Lord. Powerful Lord. Glory to the Almighty, glory to the King, the Righteous One, the Merciful One, the Holy One, the One that lives forever and ever. The Lord our God, the Lord strong and courageous, the Lord mighty in battle. Lord, we need you to help us, that you may deliver us and cleanse us, remove all of the snares of the enemy, destroy the wicked works. Give comfort, joy, and happiness to those who have not understood your path, your true path. Help us deliver and cleanse, powerful God, powerful King, that your name be glorified, glorified. Glory be to you. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Glory to God. Powerful Lord. Powerful King. Powerful is the King. Hallelujah. Chorus 167.
Con el corazón, con el corazón. Pon aceite en mi lámpara, Señor. Pon aceite en mi lámpara, Señor. Que yo quiero servirte con amor. Pon aceite en mi lámpara, Señor. Señor Jesús.
Praised and glorified is the name of the Lord. Thank you, my beloved brothers and sisters. May God bless you and see you very soon. Thank you. Press on. Do not forget, brothers and sisters, to ask the Lord for perfect gifts, that the Lord may use you greatly. May God bless you. Thank you very much.